All right, you guys can open your Bibles up tonight, and we will go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. All right, so Romans chapter 1, and let's start here in verse 14. It says this, it says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is, as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Verse 24, it says, wherefore, or you know what, let's just read verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God and into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil, evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Therefore thou art excusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impotent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Let us pray there. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, and Lord, we are so thankful for what you've given us. Lord, we are thankful for the truth that you have given us, that you've placed in our lap. And Lord, I pray that you would be with what's going to be said tonight. Father, I pray that you would help us to take heed to this, Lord, and learn from the mistakes of history. And Lord, that you would help this church and help the churches that stand on the Bible, Father, on the King James Bible, Lord, to stand firm in that, Lord, and to hold the truth of God in righteousness and not in unrighteousness. And we pray that you'd bless these things, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so sorry there's kind of a lot of reading there for the first time, but I guess just by way of introduction, it says in verse 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Now, when you consider what the truth is, and I guess some people, oh, the truth can be a lot of things, but obviously in context of being in church and things like that, we have the absolute truth, right? And so you think of what the truth is, really, it's probably the most important thing that there is. It should be, at least, right? It should be the most important thing that you have. It's a great thing to have on your side. So many people, they don't love the truth. And when that happens, you can look through history and things like that, and that's kind of what we'll do here tonight. But if you don't love the truth and you don't strive for the truth and you don't want to have the truth on your side, what do you have? You have what the Bible says is what? A refuge of lies. And what is that? Well, it's a house of cards that will fall. It may stand for a little while. It can look pretty cool, right? It's pretty neat to somebody build a house of cards. There's some talent there, right? But after a little wind blows, what happens? And for so many people these days, what do they have? That's all they have. They just have a refuge of lies. That's all it is to them. And so I would like to just show you three groups of people tonight that had the truth. And in turn, they despise the truth. And so we're going to take a look at a few of these groups here tonight, try to do my best. And so let's talk about the first thing. If you will, go back a couple books. Let's go to John chapter 3. Go to John chapter 3. So John chapter 3 is a very popular passage. We all know it. Probably some could quote it, quote the whole chapter or the majority of it. But the first group of people I like to look at, and this is a little bit vague, but you'll understand where I'm going with this. The first group of people that held the truth in unrighteousness from Romans 1:18, look at verse 16. It says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." The first group that had the truth delivered to them was the world. And you know what the world did with it? They held it in unrighteousness. The world hates the Bible. The world hated Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 3. They held in their hands the truth. The Lord delivered the truth to them. They held the truth. The Bible says that that the wrath of God is on them that hold the truth of God in unrighteousness. And this is what they had. They had the truth of God. Look at what it says in verse 9. "What then are we? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin." Verse 10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Verse 18, it says, "There is no fear of God before their eyes." The Bible says this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the truth, walks into the world. He is born into the world, and the world says, we don't want you. We don't want your truth. And look what it says in verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. They held the truth. And when they denied that truth, they got rid of that truth. You know what? The whole world was guilty before God. John 1:12, it says, as many as received him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God. And they said, we don't want him. We don't want your son. They rejected his son and they rejected his word. And so you know what they did? They held the truth of God in unrighteousness. And still to this day, what do? They hold the truth of God in unrighteousness. So who do they have? Oh, they have Sam Harris. They have what? Richard Dawkins, Christopher Hitchens, David Bennett. These are called the four horsemen of the new atheism. And who are these guys? They're just pompous jerks. That's who they are. And what do they do? They hold the truth of God. They have the truth of God, but how do they hold it? In unrighteousness. That's how they hold it. They hold it in unrighteousness. What are they supposed to be? You know what those guys are supposed to be? They're supposed to be the death of Christianity. Brilliant men. Brilliant. I mean, they are. They really are. They're smart men. But what are they? They're just jerks. That's all they are. What are they doing? They hold the truth of God in unrighteousness. Now, if you will go back to Romans chapter 1, it doesn't stop there. It doesn't just stop at the fact that they have the truth and they actually hold it. It doesn't stop there. Look at verse 25. Look what it says. It says, who change the truth of God into a lie. They don't just hold the word of truth. They don't just hold the truth in unrighteousness. They don't just hold it. They change it. They change the truth of God. They change it into a lie. What do they say? They say, "Oh, it's unscientific. The Bible is unscientific. You can't have that." And you know what they are? They are so convinced of their position. They're neuroscientists. What are they? They're philosophers. That's what they are. But they've gone to college for these things. They've studied years and years and years, and they're so sure of what they have. They're so sure of their position. And you know what's really sad about that? Is as they stand on the coffin of truth and they think that they're putting that last nail in there, you know what they're doing? They're putting nails in the coffin of their deceived mind. And they're just closing that lid, and it's becoming tighter and tighter and tighter. You know what they do? As they prove the Bible wrong, as convinced as they become in their mind, they have no idea what they're pushing God to do. Look what it says in verse 26. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. He messes with their affections. He messes with the things that they love. Look what it says in verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, in their minds, what does he do? He gives their mind over, what? To a reprobate mind. To do those things which are inconvenient. Now, I understand the context of the passage of what this is actually talking about, but allow me here for just a few minutes to kind of maybe pull it out and apply it in a different area. But what do? They keep pushing. They just keep pushing in that coffin. They think, oh, we're finishing it off. We're killing Christianity. The Bible's going to be dead when we pass. There's going to be no more Christians. And what do? They just keep pounding away. And God just keeps saying, oh, you want to believe that? Oh, okay. I'll allow your mind to believe that. I'll just give your mind over to that. And they put those nails in, they close that thing up, and really they're affecting their minds more than anything. And you know what? Like that house of cards, you know, it's pretty impressive. And although it may seem like they have the upper hand, you hear what they have to say, and you're like, whoa, I don't really know what to say to that. They think, again, they're finishing Christianity off, but they're not doing that. They're not doing that. Verse 28 again, it says, and as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. You know, God doesn't force you to think one way. You know, they say, I don't want you. I don't want your truth. I'm going to hold it in righteousness. God says, okay. Okay, I won't stop you. In fact, I'll help your mind. I'll help deceive you so that you will believe a lie. And you better be afraid of that God. You better fear that God, because God will do that if you push him enough. You think God enjoys that? You really think he enjoys his creation saying, you don't exist? You think he enjoys that and says, he enjoys saying to somebody, okay, yeah, believe that. You think he enjoys that? No. No, he doesn't. And you know what? As that mind becomes more and more, I don't want to use my word yet because I haven't turned to the verse yet. I tell you what, just take your Bibles and go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. As God does that and he turns their mind over, you know what happens? You know what enters in? This enters in. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look what it says in verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Uh-oh. Deceiving and being deceived. You know, they're so sure in their mind, you know what they're just doing? All they're doing to themselves, they're just deceiving themselves more and more. They're thinking, I've got the truth. This is it. And they just deceive themselves. And the Bible says that they hold the truth of God in unrighteousness. And if you will, go back to Romans chapter 29. And this whole thing, it says that for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And that's how they hold the truth. They don't care about the Bible. They try everything that they can do to disprove it. And so with that being said, look what they're full of. They hold it in unrighteousness. So in verse 31 it says, verse 29 it says, being filled with what? All unrighteousness. They hold it in unrighteousness because they're full of unrighteousness. They're full of ungodliness. And the reason why that's such a big deal is because of this. They hold it in unrighteousness. When they hold it in unrighteousness, you know what it says in verse 18? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. You know what the Bible says about a lost man? It says, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know what the Bible says? I messed up that verse, I think. Get myself on track here. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but what? The wrath of God abideth on him. You know what the Bible says? The wrath of God is revealed from heaven. At who? Those that hold the word of God in unrighteousness. And so the world has what? Has God's wrath abiding on their head. Right now, you walk in here tonight, if you're lost, if Jesus Christ is not your Savior, you know what you are? You're part of the world. And you hold the truth of God in unrighteousness. And God's being merciful to you. And you know what he's doing? He's giving you another chance to hear the truth. But the reason why it's such a big deal is because God's wrath is on their head. If there was something that gets the Lord's wrath worked up, is what? Somebody that doesn't obey those words. It doesn't obey that truth. And so the first group that we looked at is the world. The world, what do? They hold the truth of God in unrighteousness. Now there's another group here. It says in verse 18, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, the other group that we want to look at for here for a second is in chapter 3, verse 1. Look what it says in verse 1. It says, "What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God." You know, the second group I'd like to look at here for a second is the Jew. You have the Jew. They were a lot just like the world. You know what? They had the truth given to them. They were put in charge of the truth. Those the Jew back in the Old Testament, you guys know those Levites, they would take care of the Word of God. They had scribes and they would write this stuff down. And you know what? It was their duty to protect the words of God. It was up to them. And if you will, let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. 2 Chronicles 34. The Lord picked out a tribe to minister to him and to hold those oracles. And so the Bible says that the oracles were given to the Jew. And those Jews, they were given the truth. They had the truth. They held it. They touched it. They were able to feel it. They could go in there and they could read that stuff. But what happens? Well, 2 Chronicles chapter 34, look what it says in verse 21. This is Josiah. He says, "Go inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning what? The words of the book that is found." Look what it says. It says, "For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book." And Josiah started to see that wrath coming up. And you know what he did? When he found those words, he says, "You need to go inquire of the Lord." Why? It says, concerning the words of the book. It's those words. That's the truth. And he says, "You need to go and inquire of it." And so you guys know the story. Josiah was able to buy the Israelites just a little more time, right? He was able to go in there and, if you want to say, pacify the wrath of the king. He was able to do that, and he was able to hold the Lord off. And the Lord says, "Okay, I'll hold off for a little while." Why? Because of how they handled the truth. And you'd be surprised, the way you handle the truth can affect a lot of things. It can affect a lot of things. But it's sad because you let a little bit more time pass. You pass through a few more books in the Bible and you get into Jeremiah. You get to Jeremiah chapter 5, and look what pops up. That time allowed those Jews to kind of be able to ease back into things, right? Ease back into that way of life. And as they had the truth, they were able to hold it. Chapter 5, verse 1, it says this, "Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if you can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it." Can you find anybody, Jeremiah? Can you run through the streets? Can you find anybody? If you can, I'll spare it. Verse 3, "O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return." Given that little bit of time, Israel kind of eases back into it. And you know what they do? They begin to hold the truth of God in unrighteousness. And they begin to despise that word. And when that happens, if you will, flip over to chapter 9. Look at what it says in chapter 9, verse 3. "They bend their tongues like their bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth. They hold the truth of God in unrighteousness." And again, it doesn't stop there. Just like the world, it doesn't stop there. What do? They begin to change it. They change the truth of God into a lie. They bend their tongues like their bow for lies. "For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord." Verse 8, "Their tongue is as an arrow shot out. It speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he layeth his weight. Listen, the same thing happens. What happened to the world is now happening to the Jews. And you guys know the saying, if we don't ever learn from history, we're bound to repeat it. And sure enough, the Jews, they come in, and you know what they're doing? It's just a vicious cycle. It's just repeating. History is just repeating. And look what comes up. As they do this, look what happens to their mind. Verse 6. Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. There it shows up again. Through deceit, they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. That sound familiar? The world knew him not. He came into the world and his own received him not. The Jews, they said, no, we don't want your son, and we won't bother to name what they call him, right? That's what they think of him. And so here comes one of the, actually, verse, go to chapter 8, look at verse 5. Verse 5, it says, why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. They will not return. They say, no, we don't want your truth. You take it away. And they had the truth, but they held it in unrighteousness and in ungodliness. And one of the sadder verses in the Bible, 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Look what it says in verse 16. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until, oh, there we go, there it is again, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, what? Till there was no remedy. Nothing could fix it. Nothing could change those Jews' mind. Nothing could change their mind enough for them to come back to the Lord. And so what happens? God's wrath falls on them. Not even the worst wrath. But he just starts to give them a little taste of it. And you know what happens? They go into captivity for 70 years. And then shortly after that, when you have the close of the Old Testament going into new, there are 400 years of silence. There is nothing said. There is no words that were spoken by the prophets. Nobody heard from the Lord. No Jew heard from the Lord for 400 years. And the Lord, out of pity, you know what he does? He says, maybe I'll come back and I'll see what they'll do. Maybe they'll want the truth. Maybe they'll want to hold that truth again. And he says, maybe I'll come back. And they say to Jesus Christ, they say, we don't want you. Get out of here. His blood be on us and all our children. And you had Titus who came in, and you had the diaspora that has now lasted for around 2,000 years. And since that time, they have gone through unspeakable things where you think, how in the world can a nation even survive after this? And they thought the wrath of God was hard, and they walk over and they see these ovens open. And what people, the Germans are filing people into these ovens. They're just throwing dead people and just burning them. And they think, surely this has to be God's wrath. It can't get any worse than this. And it's going to. You know, they said that the ground would heave and undulate because there were so many bodies in the ground in Treblinka. They said that blood would squirt up from the ground because the land couldn't receive any more blood. It couldn't hold any more. And so their blood would squirt up as almost to cry to God. You know what they did? As Treblinka was getting close to the end, or the war was getting close to the end, you know what happened? Those Germans, they decided, you know what we have to do? We have to hide all evidence. We can't let anybody know what we've done. So let's destroy it. But before we destroy it, we can't let them see what's in the ground. So they went in, they dug up all those millions of Jews that they killed, and they figured out, if we have this gender and this weight on the bottom and we put them on these grills, we can all stack them up and burn them. What is that? They held the truth of God in unrighteousness. And you may think that the way you think, the way you hold the Bible doesn't matter. God sees it. And he did that. I understand that's an extreme example. I get it. But that's what happens when what? Somebody holds the truth of God in unrighteousness and then just doesn't stop there. But they change the truth of God into a lie. You better be careful what you do with that truth. They hold the truth of God in unrighteousness. And it doesn't stop there. They are going to have to go into great tribulation, and they're going to be deceived, and they're going to have to run, and they're going to have to flee into the wilderness. And one day, it's a mystery, but the Lord's going to turn back. And he's going to turn back, and the Bible says, and so all Israel shall be saved. That is after the vast majority of them have been killed. What is that? Just a small remnant that said, Lord, we want your truth back. We want to be able to handle your truth in godliness and in righteousness. But until that point, what do? They hold the truth of God in unrighteousness. I was, I think I was flying back down to Florida when I was in school, and I was on the, I was sitting on the plane, and I had an older gentleman sitting next to me. He had to be like 40 years old or something. But anyways, I had an older gentleman sitting next to me, and we kind of started to talk, and he goes, oh yeah, you know, I'm the announcer for the Texas Rangers on the radio, and oh, you know, interesting. We're kind of talking. I start trying to witness to him, and you know what he said to me? Oh, I'm a Jew. You know what he said? He goes, I don't think God's going to judge me for not doing anything with his son. You know what that is? That's what? That's holding the truth of God in unrighteousness. He had it. It was right there. It was in the pamphlet I tried to give him. It could have been in a Bible that I could have pulled out of my backpack, or he could have got off the plane in the airport and probably bought one. The truth is right there. But how does he hold it? He holds it in unrighteousness and in ungodliness. And so you have the Jew, and they, what do? They hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now there is another group. If you will, go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and look at what it says in verse 16. Philippians 2:16 says this, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. It says, holding forth the word of life. Go to go a few books farther. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, look what it says in verse 3. And now notice the wording of it. It says, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. And then lastly, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 again. 2 Timothy chapter 3 again. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, it says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse 15, it says, and from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy, you know what he had? He had the holy scriptures. You know, this last group is the church. You know what was delivered to the church? The word of God. The Bible says, holding forth the word of life. It says that we were put in trust. It was almost as if God kind of gambled a little bit. He says, you know what, I'm going to give it to them. I'm going to see if they'll care for my word. And the truth was delivered to them. But as history teaches us, over time, what happened? Oh, the world's scholarship pressed in. It pressured the church. You know what the church allowed? The church allowed the world to creep in a little bit. You know, the church allowed the ideologies and the philosophies of the world to begin to push in on the church. And they allowed, they opened up their doors, maybe not a lot at first. They maybe opened the doors up a little bit in doubt and maybe in, well, maybe I can, well, I don't know. And they opened up those doors and you know what happened? This caused the church, caused them to hold that book a little differently than they used to. What did they do? They held it in doubt. You know how they held it? In unrighteousness. And now you have the majority of churches that they don't even believe the Bible. And I do. I sit there and I think about the truth and you consider, and of course it all kind of comes together, you know, for a message, and you just start mulling things over, and the Lord allows you to just think about it. And it's just you think about it more and more in days, and you're just like, wow, He actually did that. He actually gave us the truth. He actually allowed us to take care of it and hold forth the word of life. And through time, the church have begun to hold it in unrighteousness. And again, they allowed the world to get in there. And if you will, go to Ephesians chapter 4. Very familiar. This was kind of a lot of ground that Caleb was in this morning. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 14, what does it say? It says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There's that deception again. You know what the Bible says? It says, be not deceived. It warns you over and over, be not deceived. Why? Because listen, you may not know if you're being deceived. You really think that Eve knew? Now, I know that that's the devil, but I'm still going to... No, she ate that fruit. She took that thing. She ate it. Why? Because she was deceived. She didn't even realize what was going on. She didn't even realize the transaction that happened when she ate of that fruit. She didn't get it. What was she? She was deceived. And the Apostle Paul warns, the Lord tells Paul, he goes, now warn the church. They have my words, warn them, because I don't want them to be deceived. I don't want them to be deceived. You know what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17? It says, if we are not as many. Now I'm going to pause there for a second. It says, we are not as many. In other words, to say, there are many. There are a lot of people that what? Which corrupt the word of God. There's a lot of them out there. You go to a church and you sit there and they... It's so deceitful because they love the Lord. There are some of them that love the Lord. And they preach the gospel. You know, I hate that. You know, you hear about people, oh yeah, we go to this church, but they preach the gospel. Like, that's like the epitome of everything. And yeah, that's good that they preach the gospel, but there's a whole lot more than just the gospel. Yes, preach to the lost. That's great. But it goes so much deeper than that. Right, we don't just support missionaries that just preach the gospel, right? So what does it say? It says, for we are not as many, because there are many. There are a lot of people out there that say they believe the Bible and don't. And I understand where I'm at. I'm understanding that my dad, he always hits on that, right? And rightfully so. It needs to be hammered into our heads. But he says, we do not corrupt the word of God. So how is the church, what has the church done? They've taken the word of God that the Lord has given to them. And they handle it. They handle that. And at first it was such a big thing to them. It was such a treasure to them. And as years pass by and fads come and go and just time goes, you know. The process of time, we heard about that. And it was just in the process. That's all that needed to happen, is just some time, just to give the devil to work, to kind of try to slip some things in there and try to cast a little bit of doubt here and there. And pretty soon, they're saying, well, maybe that word should have been translated that way. Maybe this, yeah, I see your point. Opening up the doors of the world as they press on you. In 2 Timothy, I don't know why I always do that, I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Goodness gracious. It's a good thing it's almost over. Who knows what else is going to be said? 2 Timothy. Goodness gracious. It's hard, okay? 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look what it says in verse 15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Why? Why, Paul? Why do you want to? Why are you always shoving the Bible on us? Right? I don't know. It's funny. My dad's into the Bible, 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 Bible lately. You know, he's been saying, Bible, Bible, Bible. That's all we get. Bible, Bible, Bible. Why are you always shoving the Bible on us? Why are you always telling us to study? Why does it say, search the scriptures? Why? Just, can you just leave us alone? No. Because of verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat, as doth the canker. That's our word for cancer. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning, what? The truth. They had the truth. Hymenaeus and Philetus, they had the truth. They held the truth of God in unrighteousness, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. You know what? Christians have been destroyed because of what scholarship has said, as they tear down your faith in the Bible. Chapter 3, verse 8. 2 Timothy 3:8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. They resist it. Now it's not just the fact that they hold the truth of God in unrighteousness. What? They change the truth of God into a lie and they resist it. They resist the truth. And you know what they do? They laugh at you for believing the Bible. They laugh at you. They mock you. And it says, so do these resist the truth, men of corrupt minds. You see, God gave their minds over. Now, I understand, I don't know where the line is drawn. I don't know where how much the Lord gives it over, if He maybe just puts little bits in there. I don't know. Because everybody that denies the truth isn't a sodomite, right? So I don't know where that line is at. But you know what? He gives it over, maybe a little bit at a time. So it says, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. They're good for nothing. They're good for nothing now. You know, there's a world full out there of used to be good Christians who had strong faith, and what, it got torn down. It got torn down. And so I say the church, of course, loosely. I'm thankful that we're in a church that believes the Bible. I hope that this church never falls from its stance on the Bible, the King James Bible, just to be clear. I hope it never does. So just as the church has done the same thing, the church lives its spiritual life, and you know, it's like watching a movie play through, and it's just like you sit there and you watch it through and you're like, man, that's kind of looking familiar. And you know what it is? It's just the same storyline as the world. It's the same storyline as the Jew. What do? They hold the truth of God in unrighteousness. They change the truth of God into a lie. You know, it's interesting because that verse, back in our text, Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, like I said, it's deceitful. And thank the Lord, He has shown men. And there are men that love the truth. And they hold the truth in righteousness. And the Lord shows them these things. And you know what it says? It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Isn't that interesting how these verses that we're going over, you know, almost every new version changes that verse. It's no longer that they hold the truth. They say, oh, they suppress it, as if they're against the word. But how many people tonight are standing up yelling about this book, holding it, making you think that I'm on your side, but they just correct it. How many do that? Countless. Actually, you'd be better off counting the ones that don't. It would be a lot easier. It says they hold the truth of in unrighteousness. They suppress it. That completely changes the meaning. It totally changes the meaning. Verse 25. Who exchange the truth of God. No. They're not going and like going to Kohl's, buying a quiz, saying, oh, I don't like this. I'm going to exchange it. I'm going to get it. No. They're not getting a different one. They're changing it into a lie. They're not exchanging something. They're changing it. And you see, the devil, he just gets in there and it's just like, I'll just change a little bit. He doesn't have to change a lot. But what does he do? He just gets in there. And you know what the church becomes? They start to become deceived. And their minds start to become corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Go back one book. Go to Acts chapter 1. Go to Acts chapter 1. And this is very familiar for a lot of people in here, and they could go on this for hours more that I couldn't do. So I'm just naming some real simple ones here. But you know what it says in Acts chapter 1? Look at verse 3. It says this. It says, to whom also he showed himself, Jesus Christ, alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. You know what it says? It says they didn't just hold the truth of God in unrighteousness. It says they changed the truth of God into a lie. Why would they change it? What does it say? To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many proofs. Why would you take that out? Why would you take out infallible? Why? I bet you that word infallible is in the majority of manuscripts. Why did they remove it? Why would you do that? Why would you go in and remove great as the mystery of godliness? God was manifest in the flesh. Why would you remove that? Why would you say he was manifest in the flesh? Why would you do that? Because, and again, we're not going to go into it, but grammatically, there, who does the he refer to in the verse? Who is the mystery of godliness? There is no antecedent in the verse. Why would you do that? Why would you turn in John chapter 3, verse 36? Why would you say, before I mess it up, why would you say this? Look, this is what they all read different, but it says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Pretty clear, right? He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Very, very clearly understood, right? So why would they say, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, he that disobeyeth? Why would they change that? I mean, believeth, he that Son believeth, or he that believeth on the Son, he that believeth not the Son. I mean, the words are like right there. I mean, it doesn't make sense. Why would you do that? But the Bible says, many there be which corrupt the word of God. That was Paul. Paul was saying that. So what does that mean? You know, the scholars always say, they always say, if you could get the oldest manuscript, that would be the best, right? Not according to that verse. Because that right there proves that way back then, people were already corrupting the word of God. How many times did Paul have to write a letter and say, hey, be not deceived. Listen, don't worry. Some say that the resurrection has already passed, but it hasn't. Why? Because somebody decided to write a letter in Paul's name. What? Corrupting the word of God. You know, we sang about it. I don't remember what song it was, but it said something about the blood of Jesus Christ. And of course, you have Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Through his blood. That's how we have redemption. So why would you remove it? Why? Why would you do it? And so you had the world. You had the Jew. Now the church is doing it. Now the church is holding the truth of God into a lie. And man, when you look at that progression, what's going to be the end of the church? What is going to be the end of it? You know, the Jew was going to have to go through all the wrath, right? And you better be thankful that the Bible says God hath not appointed us to wrath. We don't have to worry about that. And you're, you know, if you're in here tonight and this is you, this is talking about you, and you're saved, you're pretty lucky. Now, you're going to have to answer for it, and it's not going to be fun. But you don't have to worry about the wrath of God falling on you. But look, it's no wonder why the church is in the shape it's in. So what is this tonight? This is just an admonition to just to believe your Bible, not to allow somebody to take it from you. And yeah, you're not going to be able to answer their questions, but that doesn't mean that it's not true. It doesn't mean that you should hold it in unrighteousness. In John chapter 17, it says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, it says that we're supposed to be sanctified and cleansed by the washing of the water by the word. This is the way a Christian is supposed to be sanctified. This is how a Christian stays clean, by the truth. So you have people out there that, when you hold the truth of God in unrighteousness, what's going to happen? Why are the churches so filled with the world today? Well, it all makes sense. The picture is very clear now. So what do? You just push back on the world. The church becomes more and more filthy, just like the world, just like the Old Testament Jew. And so it shouldn't be a surprise to us Bible believers when that happens. What should that do? That should cause us to raise our Bibles and sing, "We are on the Lord's side," right? You know, we sing that song. I love that song. Why? Just because it's just a good rally call. It kind of fires you up, and it's a song you want to sing before you come and preach a message. You know, it gets you kind of fired up. It's like warm-up music. You know what I'm saying? Christian warm-up music, okay? All right, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness to us. And Lord, we really do. We